John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Beginning at verse 1, therefore Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came into Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one who had died, whom he raised from out of the dead. Therefore they made for him a supper there. And Martha was serving, imperfect tense, showing continuous action. But Lazarus was one of the ones reclining with him, that is, at the table. Therefore, Mary, having taken a pound of ointment of pure, very valuable nard, she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped off his feet with her hair. And the house was filled from the odor of the ointment. Therefore, one from out of his disciples says, this would be Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Judas, the one being about to deliver him over, he says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 denarius, or denarii? A denarius is a one day's wage. So it'd be 300 days' wages worth of ointment. Why was it not sold for 300 denarius and was given to the poor? But this he said, not that it was a concern to him, or it was a care to him concerning the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and was carrying the things being put into it. Therefore Jesus said, allow her or permit her, for the day of my burial she has kept it. For the poor you always have with yourselves, but me you do not always have. Therefore the large crowd from out of the Jews knew that he is there, and came not on account of Jesus only, but in order that they also might see Lazarus, whom he raised from out of the dead. And the chief priests counseled together in order that they might also kill Lazarus, because many, on account of him, many out of the Jews were going away and were believing into Jesus. Again, imperfect tense, showing continuous action. People were continually believing and going off, that is, leaving Judaism and going off to follow Jesus. Well, John chapter 12 introduces us to the final week of the Lord's earthly ministry. The Passover is about ready to start in Jerusalem. And 6 days prior to the feast, Jesus comes to Bethany. And Bethany is about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. This is where Jesus pretty much hung out. He would come in and out of the city of Jerusalem and go to Bethany and spend the night, spend a couple of days. Some of the times he would spend it at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home. Other times, at this particular time, according to the incident that's recorded in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14, is that this dinner and this supper took place in the house of Simon the leper. Simon, who used to be a leper and was cleansed. Both in Matthew and Mark, they relate the same incident. Now, there's another anointing of Jesus in Luke chapter 7. It's a completely different circumstance and a completely different woman. That is a different instance than here. But in John chapter 12, it's the same thing as Matthew 26 and Mark 14. They relate the same incidents. And what is interesting here, though, is that in John's presentation, he only presents the feet as being anointed, where Matthew and Mark present the fact that she poured it over his head and it dripped down onto his feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. We have three things that we want to talk to you about. The theme of this section is priority. Priority. It's the whole theme of this section. The first thing, the introduction that's told to us in the first couple of verses, Jesus came 6 days before the Passover to Bethany where Lazarus was. Now Lazarus has been raised from the dead. The text says he is the one who had died. He is now living, whom Jesus raised up from the dead. So they made a dinner for Jesus in Bethany. And Lazarus was there reclining with him at the table. So you have Simon the leper, who's no longer a leper. You have Lazarus who died, was in the grave, and on the fourth day raised up from the dead. You have this, an interesting third person plural, they made a dinner for him there. Meaning even though Martha is involved with serving, and we'll see why she's emphasized here in a minute, but Martha was serving, but it was a community effort to bring about this dinner, which is interesting because in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders, remember, had given a command that if anybody knows where Jesus is, they're to let him know so that they can seize him, so they can arrest him. So 2 miles away, they're having an open public community dinner at Simon the leper's home. And it says, and Martha was serving. Interesting. It's the verb form of diakonos. Diakonao, where we get a word deacon from. So it describes the fact that she was in service to the Lord. Imperfect tense, showing that throughout the entire supper process, she was in a position of participating in serving the Lord. Now, why would this be important for us? Well, this particular incident in John chapter 12 happened after Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. And I want to read that account for you. Luke chapter 10 at verse 38. It says, and when they were going, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman by the name of Martha welcomed him into her home. So this is now in Martha and Mary's home. And Martha welcomes him into the house. And there was a sister to her, being called Mary, who also, after having sat along the feet of Jesus, was continually, imperfect tense, hearing his word. So now we have, first of all, we've got the scene set for us, and we've got the character presented of one. Mary was continually hearing the Lord's word after she sat next to his feet. So that was her favorite position. She wanted to sit right next to the feet of Jesus and hear his word. Now it says about Martha, but Martha was distracted concerning much serving. Interesting, because the word serving, again, is the word diakonos, diakonia. She was serving the Lord, but it says she was distracted concerning much service to Christ. Kind of sounds like a contradiction. But this portion in Luke 10:38-42 is to present to us that a person can be distracted from the number one priority of hearing the word of God by serving the Lord. It can be a distraction. So Martha was distracted with much serving. And when she came in and stood over him, she said, Lord, is it not a concern to you that my sister has left me alone to serve? And again, the infinitive form of diakoneo. She's calling it deaconing. Lord, I'm serving you. Isn't it not a concern to you that she's left me alone? And the text would indicate that Jesus is nodding his head yes, that it is a concern to him that she has left her alone to serve. Because she says, therefore, speak to her in order that she might help me. So she got her answer. Not with words, but probably the nod of the head. And when Jesus answered, he said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled concerning many things. The word anxious is a word, merimna, to have the attention of the mind occupied. The word trouble, turbazo, turbulence. Your mind is occupied and your life is now in turbulence over what your mind is occupied with, and you're occupied with service for Christ. You got a problem. He says, but there is one thing that is necessary. That's it. There's only one thing necessary. And Mary has chosen that good portion having to do with food. Mary has chosen that good portion which shall not be taken away or removed from her. So he says, yes, I'm concerned. Not the concern that you think. She says, well, if you're concerned about me out there serving all by myself, then tell her to come in and help me. He says, no, you don't understand. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that you're in there serving and you're missing the word. How do these two texts link up in John chapter 12? Martha is still serving. So in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, the Lord was not telling her not to serve. The Lord was ministering to her about priorities. She's a server. She loves to serve the Lord. She loves to serve God's people. And here we go with another incident where she's serving. It's not a problem. It's a problem of priority. In John 12, she's serving at the dinner and everything's fine. Doesn't say anything about the teaching of the word. This is actually an eating fellowship, and so she's fine. But in Luke chapter 10, when she was doing her normal serving, because she loved to cook and loved to serve, her priorities were wrong. Shut the stove off. We'll get Kentucky Fried Chicken if we need to. You know, shut the stove off and hear the word. Some Greek texts from Luke chapter 10 have Jesus saying, there are many things necessary in this life, really only one. So basically what he's saying is, a lot of things are necessary, aren't there? Well, in reality, there's only one necessity. See, I can think of a lot of necessities, you know? But Jesus said, really, there's only one. And Mary has chosen that good portion which will not be removed from her. Interesting, in John chapter 4, when Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and the disciples went into town to purchase food, and when they came back, Jesus said, I'm not hungry. They said, who brought him food to eat? He says, I have food to eat that you know not of. You know, we've just been feasting on the Word of God, and it satisfied even my physical appetites. Priority. It is not wrong to serve the Lord. Martha continued to serve. She did not accept it or receive it, nor was it pointed to teach her and rebuke her about serving, but rather priorities. In John chapter 12, she is still serving. And Lazarus was sitting at the table. Verse 3, we begin the incident, verses 3 through 8. Therefore Mary, when she took a pound of ointment of genuine, very valuable nard. This is a perfumed ointment that comes from a plant. A nard is the head of a plant. And they would make perfume both for social occasions as well as for the dead. When she took it, she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped off his feet with her hair, and the house was filled from the odor of the ointment. Priority. Because this incident is now going to have a response. But just by way of custom, so you don't wonder why the narration does not include people being shocked over this incident, it's because this was customary. Not the amount that was poured over his head and anointed his feet, but oil was used for people who came in from long journeys. The servant would come and wash their feet, kiss their cheek, and would have oil for their hair and for their head because of the journey. And so it was not uncommon to pour oil on the head of a visitor. Not this much. It's interesting that Jesus, in one incident, when they grumbled at Jesus for having dinner with sinners, he says, "When I came into your house, you gave me no kiss. You gave me no oil for my head. You didn't wash my feet." But this woman, making reference to this incident, this woman, since the time I came in, has not stopped anointing my feet and kissing my feet and wiping it with her hair. So Jesus used this incident to respond in Luke 7 about this woman showing the love that she had for the Lord. So basically it was a common practice, but it was unusual in the amount of ointment or perfume that was used. She took a pound, equivalent to our 12 ounce, of perfume and poured it, according to Matthew and Mark, over his head, and it dripped down on his feet, and she anointed his feet as well and wiped his feet with her hair, and the odor from the ointment or perfume filled the house. Now notice verse 4. Look at the response, and we're dealing with priorities. Therefore one from out of his disciples, Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the one being about to betray or deliver him over, says, Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarius and given to the poor? So he's saying, what a waste. 300 days' wages we could have gotten for this. And we could have helped the poor. Now, is it wrong to help the poor? No. Does the scriptures indicate that we are to help those in need and even the poor? Yes. But it's a matter of priority. You know something is wrong. Not that the person cares for the poor, but there's something wrong when someone spends or wastes 300 days' wages for Jesus to express their love and worship to the Lord. There's something wrong when people say, that is a waste. We could have sold it and we could have helped the poor. You know, one of the great commissions of the church, you know, we got to take care of the poor. So right away, the priority's wrong. Something's wrong here. and it seems to be within our value system, that if we give towards the things of the Lord and the Lord's people and even the ministry of His Word, it's gone and we have nothing to show for it. There's something in our subconscious that says we want something tangible to show for what we're doing. And by the way, that is the psychology and the philosophy behind people who need to build physical buildings and stained glass windows and do all these things and put their name under it as being the one who financed it, because they need to see something tangible that their money's going for to make it be worth it. Here is ointment worth, somebody figured it out in our dollars that it would be about $1,000 an ounce in our money that she wasted to show her love and worship to Christ. It's gone. You can't recover it. There's nothing to show for it, other than to show the love from her heart for Christ. But there's one, and we know Judas Iscariot, but as of yet it has not been revealed and won't be until a couple of days later at the Passover meal. The Judas Iscariot is the one who is about to betray Jesus, and he was the treasurer. And the text tells us he had the bag. And he was carrying around the bag, and as people were putting things into the bag, he was carrying it around. He was in charge of it. And so, of course, out of his Christian duty, he says, you know, I'm head of finances. Why was this not sold for 300 denarius and given to the poor? But the text says, interesting, John puts in his commentary and says he said this not because it was he had a care for the poor, but because it was a thief. And he had the bag, and he was carrying around the things that were put into the bag. Klepto, one Greek word that has to do with stealing, and kleptes in Greek has to do with stealing under the guise of design, plotting in order to steal. And it shows in Judas's presentation. He didn't care for the poor. He says, man, 300 days wages carrying around in my bag, I can rip it off. You know? I mean, who's keeping track of what he's doing? Therefore, Jesus said, allow her, permit her. For the day of my burial, she has kept it. The ointment had a purpose. In the other accounts in Matthew and Mark, Jesus says, this testimony will follow her throughout history because she has done it for my burial. She anointed the body of Jesus as if he had died. Jesus said, for the poor you will always have with yourselves, but me you will not always have. We're never going to get rid of the poverty problem. I've heard people say, if you're a Christian, you need to do something about the poor and the hungry, starving people all over the world. You're not a Christian until you take care of that problem. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, and you're a hypocrite. The starving will not all be fed, ever. There will always be poor people. We will never be able to eradicate starvation and poverty. Never. Jesus said they'll always be here. And that doesn't mean that we're not sensitive. It just means that if we think that this is our campaign to wipe out poverty and starvation, we're mistaken. It'll always be here. But Jesus said, but me you do not always have. Priority. We only have opportunities to serve the Lord with our time and our physical bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit, the opportunities that God gives us. They only come around once. And our priority must be Christ, even over the poor. I can remember being in ministry situations where a family was part of a program, and this ministry told people that we need you to finance our ministry because the Bible says Jesus can't come back until all the Jews have returned to Israel. Now, it doesn't say that, but they twisted Romans 11 to say that. So they financed Jewish families, moving them from outside of Israel back to Jerusalem. And in order to keep them there, these Jewish families were financed to live there, had their rent paid, food, everything. So that they, you know, it's like, okay, we paid for you to go back to Israel, and now we're supporting you to stay there. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to do anything. Just stay there. You know? While at the same time, here, locally, they didn't have the finances to support the ministry that was feeding them or the local ministry that existed here. Something's wrong here. Well, you know, we're the ones keeping the Lord from coming back because we need to get the Jews over there. It's like, we have all these humanitarian reasons and purposes, even some seemingly backed by Scripture. But it's right now with me, how does the Lord want me to serve Him with my time? In my circumstances. Yes, the poor, I'll come across the poor, but God doesn't always want me to help eradicate poverty. Priorities. Satan gets them all out of whack. And then the incitement of the Jews in verses 9 and 11, when they knew Jesus was now in Jerusalem, they came not because of Jesus only, but also because of Lazarus. They wanted to see Lazarus, the one whom Jesus raised from the dead. So the leaders took counsel together that they might also kill Lazarus. Because many, on account of him, on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going away and were believing into Jesus, surrendering their life to Christ. What a terrible thing. It's a priority. Now the leaders and the rulers are saying the priority is that we maintain our religious base. We have to keep people from following Jesus. You don't know how many circumstances and times, opportunities that I have been in where other brothers and sisters, and I being part of it, in order to save the program, were responsible for turning people away from Jesus. Matter of priority. A person's relationship with Christ comes first. A person's obedience and submission and service to Christ comes first. Not the church. Not the program. Priorities. Martha was a server. But there's a time when we are to stop serving and start listening, because the priority is the Word of God. Finances. Some people have a humanitarian cause that they think is in priority, but in reality, they want their money to go for something tangible so that they feel like it's worth it. Or maybe even to steal it. priorities. Then sometimes we, as Christians, but especially we in positions of leadership, we're guilty of interfering with people following their Lord because we're afraid we're going to lose them, and we try to manipulate in order to save the program. It's priority. The priority is the response to Christ and His Word. Number one priority. The number one necessity. That's it. And then serving Him with our physical means, our resources, our time, according to as He directs. Now, as we continue through chapter 12, we're going to continue into this last week. It goes all the way up through chapter 19. John spends a lot of time in this final week of what went on between Jesus and His disciples and the people in Jerusalem during this final week of His ministry. The private teachings that Jesus gives the disciples in light of the urgency of the week. It's very powerful. It's the kind of teaching that says, I'm going to leave in a couple of days, so I've got to give it to you, these important things, right now. And we get to sit in on it. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the anointing, for the inspiration of Your Word. We thank You for the ministry and the testimony that it gives. It helps us with priorities in life, especially in serving Christ. We can dedicate sometimes, and we can make human effort in the name of Jesus, but the priority is all out of whack. Help us with our priorities. Help us not to be seduced into humanitarian causes that are not directed by Your Spirit for us to do. We pray that You'd make us aware of teachings and times that attempt to motivate us out of guilt, that try to keep us from a personal relationship and response to Christ in order to save the program. Lord, I know personally of many people this day that I've been made aware of the last few weeks who are loyal to the church program, but they know that it's not the Lord, and they know that they're not getting ministered to. But out of guilt, they stay. How we need to see the priority. The priority is not the church. It's not the money. It's not even the service to Christ that is the priority. The Lord Himself and His Word is our priority. The only necessity that we have. As Jesus, when He quoted from the Old Testament, He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We pray that You'd teach us these important lessons of priority as we seek to walk with You and do that which is pleasing in Your sight and to follow You according to Your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.